Welcome to Rage Against the Regime Radio, where status quo gets taken to task. With your host, Bobby Who's the Man. Don't be a stranger. Give us a call at 929-477-3565 or contact us at RageAgainstTheRegimePodcast@gmail.com or on our Twitter at RATRPodcast. And please like our Facebook page. On with the show. Here's Bobby.
Welcome back to another edition of Rage Against the Regime podcast, and I am your host, Bobby, Who's the Man. God, I should just stop doing that altogether, shouldn't I? I mean, the music is enough, right? I am back on Spreaker Radio. I'm really liking this Spreaker program. They only allow me to do 45 minutes in a day. Well, I think it's 45 minutes in a day. It might be 45 increments, but all I know is it allows me only to do 45 minutes. It has a lot of good points to it and some bad points, but you know what? It's not a big deal. I am going to just keep doing it. And doing it as much as I can on here. I'm hoping that they make some changes. That would be really cool. But if they don't, you know, whatever, I still have Blog Talk Radio. So, let's get into some orders of business here. Today, the United States government and mainly the Army did a press conference on C-SPAN talking about Ebola and breaking down the whole Ebola situation and getting a little bit into it, you know, trying to give us a little bit more information, they're saying, than we know ourselves, which I don't know if I believe all of it, you know, the stuff that, you know, that they're telling us. But, you know, I got to take them on their word until, you know, we find out otherwise. And it was General Williams. Actually, I believe that he's a major general? Lieutenant general? Well, anyway, it was General Williams. And he was talking about the whole CDC. And he says that he believes in the procedures and the way that the CDC is going about everything. I have to say that I do not agree with the procedures and the way that CDC is doing everything. I think right now they're failing miserably. First of all, they should be shutting down. I know this doesn't have anything to do with them, but they should be shutting down all flights coming into the United States from any of those countries over there. Now, I'm not saying cut off the food supplies going there, the water, you know, all the necessities that they need to go there. I'm talking about people coming here from there. Now, there's ways that we can deliver stuff there and not be in contact with anybody. I mean, it's been going on for years and years and years. So, you know, I really, really do not agree with the way that the CDC is going about everything. Okay? Now, they say that the Army is working at the Walter Reed Center and that they're working on a vaccine and they believe that they have a cure and they're testing on humans. Now, that is probably something. I don't know if they're actually pulling our legs or if they're just, you know, letting out some information just to make everybody, you know, feel a little bit more at ease. But I did some research on it and I did find one or two videos of somebody else that had a press conference. It was another gentleman that was in the Army. Not sure if he was like a colonel, a general, whatever. And he said that they've been working on a cure for Ebola for many, many years, but they laid off of it for a while because they felt that, you know, Ebola wasn't a problem. Okay, Ebola's been around since 1976. And the Army's saying that within the last, like, I don't know, 20 years or something like that, that nobody thought that it was really going to be a problem any longer, and they kind of thought that it just, you know, vanished and it died, I guess? I don't know. All I know is, you know, they've been working on it for a while, and they say that, you know, right now, you know, they weren't doing it on humans for a while, but now they're finally doing the testing on humans. Okay, which is great news. I mean, if they're going to find a cure. So, I mean, with the Pentagon doing this, you know, the briefing on the current state of Ebola, I mean, okay, but it seems to me they could have went a little bit more into things. I mean, they did, like I said, they did release a lot of good information, but they could have let some more information be known. But they said that they have a 25-bed hospital for the care of the workers, meaning like military and people that are in the medical field and everything that are helping out, and that they have a 65-member American team over there that are healthcare people. So 65 doctors, nurses, whatever, all from the medical field that are over there working, and they have like a 25-bed hospital that they're working on, you know, to try to help cure, you know, just workers and stuff like that. Now, they didn't say it was military people. They didn't say it was American workers or anybody that was helping out or anybody from the medical field. So I would have to guess that it's people from that country, you know, that they're trying to help get back. Now, they're saying 50 to 70% of people that get Ebola die from it. Now, the numbers that I've been going over today, you know what, I forgot to write down the exact number because I saw the exact number. I don't think that, I don't think that it's 70%. I think it's actually closer to 50% by the numbers, by the way that, you know, the numbers broke down. So then they were saying that if somebody has Ebola, you could have it for up to 21 days and not even know about it. And then you could be a host. That's what they call it, a host. For 21 days, not even know about it. And then you could pass it on to other people. Then I did a little bit of investigating and I saw that it could actually be longer than 21 days. It could be up to 42 days. Now, that's what WHO is saying. Now, it seems to me that they should probably know that information a little bit more before allowing that information to go out. Because when they're stumbling, mumbling, and bumbling over everything like that, it's not very good. I mean, seriously, that's not good at all. So, they're saying that 500 American health workers will be trained at one time out in Liberia. 500 medical people will be trained at one time. But the first group that's going to go in to be trained initially is going to be 200 people. So I'm guessing that they're going to bring those 200 in to be the actual trainers and stuff like that to go along with the 65 that they have now to train 500. They're expecting something huge. Okay? Something huge. Now, the U.S. is in Liberia putting full force to stop Ebola there, but they're not stopping flights to the U.S. from those countries? That, to me, makes no sense. Like I said, food and water and all that stuff, I mean, I get it. They have to get, you know, food and water and, you know, medical supplies and everything from other places. And, okay, I understand that. But that doesn't mean that we should allow them to fly here. I mean, these places are third world countries. mean, seriously, think about it. They're third world countries. Doesn't make no sense to me. I mean, we're putting a lot into this, and now they're talking about the National Guard. U.S. National Guard going over, okay? Going over and, you know, working over there. Why does the U.S. National Guard have to go over there when they're supposed to be guarding our borders here? Seriously. The U.S. National Guard is going to go over there. I got a big problem with that. I have a huge problem with that. Now, one thing that, you know, the general did say, General Williams said, was that the military monitors, all military members, they monitor them twice a day, sometimes up to seven times a day, to make sure that nobody's contaminated. They check, you know, their temperature and, you know, to make sure that nobody, you know, seems like they're getting sick, so on and so forth. And General Williams said that he's been there for, I believe he said 30 days. So he's been there for up to 30 days right now. And he said that, you know, he hasn't seen a whole lot of, you know, people that have had, like, Ebola, you know, like, coming up with it since he's been there and stuff. And he thinks that everything's going pretty well. Now, the other press conference that I saw that gentleman said that, you know, they have a cure pretty much for Ebola. They're just, you know, they're testing it on humans right now and all that. I mean, I don't really even know what to think about that whole situation. You know, on the show that I had on Blog Talk the other day, and I had on Christy Black, and I had on Becky Williams, you know, we were all sitting and talking about it. Vitamin C, and I forgot the kind of acid. There's a kind of acid that that you use with vitamin C, and that will help you for the most part. That's supposed to be a cure. And, you know, it really helps with other illness and stuff like that. So I've been, you know, I've been reading a lot and seeing that vitamin C is a big helper in this whole situation. So I would start loading my family up. If it was me, I would start loading my family up on vitamin C. You know, well, once we know that it's starting to get really bad, I mean, I wouldn't wait till the last minute, but vitamin C, and I wish I could remember the, name of that acid that, I don't know. Next time, if I can't remember it by the end of this, next time we'll talk about it. Now, the general also said that he's using chlorine to wash his hands and his feet. And that they do not do any kind of handshaking over there. And that they're doing sanitary cleaning frequently because it helps fight it. I agree with that. Me, I would start using masks more. You know, face masks. Health, you know, the, you know what I'm talking about. The like the health masks that you can buy in stores and stuff like that with vitamin C. I would wear a good pair of gloves, learn how to take them off without touching the gloves themselves. Now, I'm not talking about doing that like right now, you know, but I mean, eventually, when you know that things are starting to get really bad and it's starting to hit close to home, these are things that you can do. Now, washing your hands and feet with chlorine wash. Now, I don't know so much about that because I don't think I've ever washed my hands with like chlorine wash or anything like that. I mean, I know chlorine would dry out your skin really, really bad. I don't know how that would go over so well, but he says that that's what they're doing. And then he said the U.S. hospitals that will be treating military members that are becoming infected, he cannot disclose. Now, I don't think that he really knew the place, you know, which hospitals it's going to be. But he said that he couldn't disclose it. Now, like I said, he probably really didn't know, and he didn't want to, you know, sound like, you know, he was disclosing bad information or whatever. Because I thought that he actually gave a lot of good info, and he didn't seem like he was being a spin doctor. But with us sending in, you know, all the National Guard that they're going to be sending in, besides whatever military, I think that they said that they sent over 600 military members completely so far or whatever. I mean, if that just be the case, that's really not that many if you think about it. But I don't think that our people should be over there at all like that. I mean, that's what we have foundations for, you know, the CDC and WHO, and, you know, there's other, you know, other organizations that's what they're together for. But I mean, I understand that they need help and stuff like that. But, you know, folks, here we go again with us being the big bullies on the block and being involved with everybody's business. We don't have to be doing this. Do you know what I mean? We really, really don't have to be doing this. I mean, you're putting people's lives at risk that don't need to be at risk. It's not really fair. I mean, seriously, think about it. It's not really fair. But, you know, It really, really aggravates me, you know, some of the things that our government's been doing, you know, leaving the borders wide open, allowing people to just come in here. I mean, we've talked about it a bunch of times, and you know what? We'll talk about it again, and I'm gonna keep bringing stuff up like that. But you know what? I'm gonna take a break really quick, and I will be right back. So just hold tight, and I'm going to play you a good song here.
What if I say I'm not just another one of you? Podcast. Don't be a stranger. Like Rage Against the Regime Podcast on Facebook or tweet us at RATR Podcast.
Wow, do I really, 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 really like that song? I do. You know, and that's like, it's like the perfect song. You know, God, it's just the perfect song. You know, it's like, ooh. Anyway, sitting here getting all goo-goo over a damn song. So, to go back, to start talking about some of the things that I wanted to touch on. You know, we've got all these people here that are coming into our country. You know, all the illegals and everything that are coming into our country. And they're actually able to get... They're actually able to get passports. Okay, we've talked about this. You guys have heard me bring this up a couple times and, you know, stuff like that. They're actually able to get a passport in one day. One day. Really? A passport in one day? I mean, does nobody else see a problem with this? Because I know I do. That's a huge problem. A passport in one day? I mean, and then they're going in and getting all the benefits, right? You know, they go fill out for, I don't know, whatever, welfare, insurance for their kids, for their families or whatever. And then, you know, you've got people, just regular average everyday Joes that are working jobs and everything that can't afford health care because of Obamacare. I mean, Obamacare was supposed to be this great thing, right? That, you know, everybody was, oh, yeah, I'm going to get Obamacare and this and that and whatever. And, you know, look at how many people that lost their health care because of Obamacare. But not even just them. There's working class stiffs like me who work 60 plus hours a week and don't get insurance from the company that I work for. And I can't get Obamacare. Because it's, oh, you know, one of those things, oh, you make too much money or whatever. Whatever the case may be, it's a crock. Okay? No matter how you look at it, it's a crock. Big time crock of crap. And, you know, it's not right that, you know, these people are actually able to come into our country and take advantage of all the benefits that Americans can't even get. Then, one thing that you really, really need to be worrying about right now is, okay, all these illegals that are coming here, and we got all these diseases that are coming in from all these countries, right? Well, usually, when the illegals come here, they have family members that are here. And there's a good chance that they could be carrying disease. And then all of a sudden they go around some of the kids. Those kids don't have to go see a doctor like your children, my children, whoever's children. They don't have to go see the doctor before their first day of school. I know my son had to. All my kids. Before they could even start school, we had to get the before school physical and checkup and all that stuff. But these kids don't have to. Come right into our country. You're more than welcome to come on in here. Come into our country, you know, and your kids, yeah, we'll bring them right to the school. Don't worry, they don't even have to see a doctor. They don't have to go through none of that. And now, mix your children, my children, everybody else's kids prone to getting some kind of disease. And hopefully not, you know, eventually catching something as bad as Ebola. See, because that's what I've been thinking about recently. You know, myself and, you know, like older people, like myself, my wife, whatever, you know, anybody that's over, we'll say 10 years old. I mean, you can actually teach people, hey, you probably shouldn't touch that. You probably should be wearing, you know, this mask. You should be putting those gloves on. Don't forget to take your vitamin C, your other supplements, you know, whatever, your nascent iodine, whatever. Make sure you're taking care of yourself and everything else. And, you know, it's easy to do. A kid, they're not going to do that. It's the last thing on their mind. They're not going to go through all that, right? So it's very easy for a child to be a host and bring disease into the family. I mean, how many times has your kid come home from school and your kid was sick and now everybody in the house is sick? Right? Right or wrong? I know I'm right. So what does that tell you? I mean, it would be very, very easy for something like that to happen. People, please do the homework and educate yourselves. Educate your families. Okay? It's very, very important that you teach your family all the important things that they need to know to help protect themselves and protect you. Okay? By teaching them how to protect themselves, you're also teaching them how to protect you. Now, another thing, my buddy Tom from Bunker Report, he's been releasing some videos recently. I highly recommend you guys go to his page, BunkerReport.com on Facebook, or not .com, you know what I mean, Bunker Report on Facebook. Please go over there, watch some of the videos. He has shared a ton of information. He thinks that if you can quarantine yourself and your family, not now, but you know, when the time comes and it becomes important, you have to have at least 90 days worth of supplies, meaning water, food, medicine, whatever you need, for this all to blow over. And I guess that it would kill itself off, meaning the Ebola or whatever, I guess it would kill itself off within 90 days. I don't know if that's enough time, but I guess the message that he's trying to get across that I need to probably be getting across also is try to get enough supplies, medical supplies, all that stuff, especially vitamin C and stuff. Start supplying, building up your supply on that stuff. And make sure you got enough for yourself and your family and whatever. For long periods of time. You don't know how long you're going to need it for. Okay? You have no idea how long you'll need it for. So do yourself the favor and start trying to, you know, save some stuff that you might need. You know, of course, the important things. Water. Well, canned foods. If you do jarring, you know, jar some vegetables and stuff. You know, do the little things, you know, with the extra money that you might have. And just, you know, just try to put it to the side and, you know, and try to put some things to the side. And, you know, just be prepared. Be prepared. I'm praying and hoping and, you know, whatever, that this is nothing anywhere near what they're trying to lead us to believe that it's going to be. I'm just hoping and praying that, you know, this is going to be one of those things that, you know, it's going to be a big scare like the H1N1 and all that. That it's really not going to be anything but, you know, just a big scare tactic. But I don't remember seeing, you know, all these big news conferences and all that stuff about any of those diseases. Texas was supposed to call a state of emergency today. I believe I saw on Becky's page that they did not call for a state of emergency. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that I am. I believe that they did not call for a state of emergency. I mean, they had, what, two cases that one person died. I think maybe the second person died. And then they were going to contact the boyfriend. And then they had a couple kids, you know, that were in grammar school. And then some other people. I think they said there was like 100 people total that they thought that they needed to contact. And that, you know, they were probably going to end up quarantining. So once I get more information about that, if I hear, you know, if Texas did end up quarantining themselves and doing all that, I will let you guys know. I'm going to be doing more shows more often. Please keep listening. Tell your friends about us. Like us everywhere. Please like us everywhere. RATR Podcast on Twitter. Rage Against the Regime Podcast on Gmail. Rage Against the Regime Podcast on Facebook. There's the text number, which is 256-344-7287. 256-344-7287, where you can text me anytime if you have any information you want to share with me. Text away. You can even call. In fact, you know what? I got 10 minutes. Anybody wants to call right now? Anybody listening? 256-344-7287. I've got about 10 minutes left. I'll take a couple calls if anybody wants to call. 256-344-7287. But other than that, please like us on all those places. On Spreaker, on here, anybody that's listening to me on Spreaker, please press the follow and the like buttons. Please. And then on iTunes, you know, you guys can leave comments on iTunes.